Georgia Paul on radio for the first hour every Friday, and we throw it now over to the publisher of GeorgiaPaul.com. That is Charlie Harper.
Publisher. Hey, that's me. And yes, John Weatherby's doing a fine job after a slow start this morning. I understand saw some video of a potential tornado going across Robins Air Force Base, so we hope everyone south of the listening area is doing fine. But skies are going to clear up. I think we're actually going to have a weekend out of this. Life is good. For Rhino Radio today, we have John Richards in the studio and Stefan Turkheimer in traffic. So he will be joining us at some point, we hope, today. But John and I are here right now. John, let's just go ahead and turn it right to you. Big news of this week, Governor Nathan Deal vetoed the religious freedom RFRA FATA PPA Franken bill that ultimately is just kind of really being referred to now by most people as the religious freedom bill. It was House Bill 757. What's your takeaway? It's been really a long week, and I've kind of been possibly, shall we say, a little close to that situation. So let's start with your view of what's been going on this week to and after the veto.
Sure. And so first thing Monday morning, here comes Governor Deal. He's going to announce that he is planning to veto the religious liberty bill, House Bill 757. I listened to his speech. I thought he pointed out a couple of the made a good argument, actually, as to why he was vetoing it. Number one, that some of these other states with quote-unquote religious liberty bills have additional civil rights protections that Georgia does not. He also pointed out that the Constitution is kind of a negative liberties document. It says what the government can't do, not what it will do, and that he felt more comfortable relying on the First Amendment, the freedom of religion, not establishing a religion nor denying the free exercise thereof. Later in the afternoon, he went ahead and did his formal veto, so that is over. There was some talk of perhaps trying. It upset a lot of people that he did veto it. I saw plenty of social media references to the governor being a Democrat and certainly not going for the people. My understanding is that it did indeed raise perhaps more people responded negatively to it than some might have expected. Certainly you're going to expect the religious right, the evangelicals, to come out and object to that. And indeed, there was a press conference Tuesday morning with Faith and Freedom Coalition and a number of the other organizations that had gone ahead and supported the bill, asking the governor to reconsider what he was doing. Also wanted to see if there could possibly be an overturn of the veto the House and Senate would need to come back in for a special session. But as it turns out, the move to overturn the veto would have to start in the House. They had 104 votes for the bill. They would need 108 even to call a special session, 120 to defeat the bill, and that just wasn't likely to happen. Now I think we have set the table for a couple of different things, a little bit more commentary here, but certainly it's going to come back next session. They've already, in fact, there was an article in the AJC today. Greg Bluestein did a long interview with both Lieutenant Governor Cagle and Speaker Ralston, and both said that they wanted to bring the issue back and figure out an answer. So that's one way to look at it. And I think it really exposes a divide that we're having that's very similar to the divide that we saw or we are seeing in the presidential race, where you have Donald Trump going up against the establishment Republicans and hoping to win. And on the other side of the thing here in Georgia, you've got a lot of the social conservatives going up against the business community, especially the Fortune 500 people. The quote-unquote Hollywood values was a talking point during the kind of why did they veto it. So it's not going away. It'll be interesting to see what happens as time goes on.
I mean, my continued takeaway is, especially for the people in their aftermath of blaming the business community didn't ask for the bill ultimately when it became a problem, and the folks pushing it flat knew it was a problem. Both sides took the business community hostage. Both of them had an itchy trigger finger and were willing to pull it to make their point. And so watching some of the people that are now going off against some of the state's largest employers for protecting their business interest, all of their employees, not just the ones that agree with those people. That's been the somewhat unsettling but 100% predictable thing to me. Stefan's just joined us. Let me let him jump in here with his take, and I might go a different direction with this in a later segment. But, Stefan, what's your from the progressive left that hates everything God and country. you know, what's your take on this bill? Not to load it up for you or anything.
Yeah, well, it was a bad bill from the beginning. It was a bad bill the way it was created. Whenever you ram something through that without people getting a chance to really look at it, or at least the opposition look at it, it was always a compromise to compromise the compromised. And this is the natural result of that kind of a process. I think you're right. They did essentially, I think for a long time, the Republican Party has just assumed that the business interests were on their side, and the business interests assumed the Republican Party was on their side. And I think this session revealed that that's not the case anymore, or at least is not something that they can assume to be the case.
So as far as John was laying out, where do we go from here? Do Democrats see an advantage of... Is the advantage in campaigning intra-party, or is it something you actually see gaining ground, or are people willing to jump parties over a potential 2018 matchup if Republicans decide this is the issue that, as one of our friends likes to say, is the hill to die on?
The hill to die on, yeah. That's a really good question. I think the first thing you're going to see is whether or not you can get, if donors are more willing to consider the Democratic Party and the Democrat and local representatives in the Democratic Party as a better water carrier for their interests than they have been in the past. I think in the previous to this, it was always sort of a question of, well, the Republicans are in the majority; they have all of the power, and so we'll just deal with them and we'll figure out within them. But it may be a situation here where the Republican Party has drifted to such a degree that there is an advantage there. So if those sort of business interests and those sort of financial interests start aligning themselves more with the Democratic Party, it will change the direction of campaigns in the state. It'll make it easier.
Sorry, you lost me when you said it depends on what the donors do. I wasn't aware y'all still had. Never mind.
We're trying to get some. That's
the other part of that too, Stephan, has got to be what happens in November. Because yes. if Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, I think you have a different scenario than if somehow it's either Ted Cruz or yet somebody we're not talking about. I mean, I think you got an issue all the way around, but that's going to reflect as we move towards 2018.
Yeah, I think it's very damaging to the brand. I think Trump has really created an opportunity for Democrats in a lot of areas where there wasn't an opportunity before. Georgia, as 2014 proved, is not yet a state that Democrats can win statewide. But a Trump presidency and even the rise of the Trumpness, if you will, the Trumpity within the Republican Party has allowed Democrats to reclaim more of the middle ground that they've sort of been ceding over the years.
Well, it's something, as we said, that's going to be with us. The takeaway I want to get to specifically, the role of the church in this, is something we're going to get to. But next up, we're going to pivot to a slightly different issue because we're going to stay on the issue of boycotts. And apparently the brunch bill not passing has caused some trouble. And we're going to talk about that when we come back.